When God began and he created the heavens and the earth, which is written in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says this. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the thing about it is, if you don't settle that fact from the very beginning, if you, before you ever read any other part of the Bible, if you haven't already settled the fact that God, Elohim, God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, if you don't believe he was the one who created the heavens and the earth, there's no way you will be able to believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish or have, that they would might have everlasting life. It would be impossible for you to believe the fact that, and then Moses and the children of Israel were about to part, cross over, and they came by the Red Sea, and God said, stretch forth your hand, Moses, and stretch forth your rod, and the sea would open, and they would walk over on dry land. It would be impossible for you to believe that Joshua heard a word from God, and then what he said after he heard the word from God, God told him, march around the city of Jericho one time for 6 days, and on the seventh day, march around seven times, and when you march around on a seventh time, you and all the children of Israel shout with a great shout, and the walls of Jericho would come falling down. It will be impossible for you to believe that when God said to David, David was facing Goliath, and Goliath was threatening the armies of Israel, and David makes this statement. He says that, who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine, who dares to defile the armies of the Lord? And David took a slingshot, and he had five smooth stones, and he ran towards Goliath. And when he launched that rock and that stone, and it penetrated and hit Goliath in the head, and Goliath fell, and David cut off his head with Goliath's own sword. If you do not believe that God, old Elohim God, Almighty God, Jehovah God, if Yahweh, the great I am, if you do not believe that he is, it will be impossible for you to believe anything else. In fact, it says it this way in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, but those who come to God must first believe that he is. It's impossible for you to come to someone who you don't even believe exists, and it's impossible for you to please him if you don't first believe that he is. In fact, he says, those who come to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently and purposely seek him. You won't expect to receive a reward from somebody who you don't believe. It's kind of like if you don't believe that at the end of 2 weeks, after you've worked for 2 weeks, that there's a paycheck that's going to be waiting on the other end of it, you will not continue to show up to that same company day after day, go through everything that you got to go through, if you don't believe that there's a reward on the other side. And see, that's the whole thing about with God. God's saying, you must first believe that I am. In fact, his name, when Moses was, he's telling Moses, Moses, I'm going to send you, and I'm going to have you deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of the bondage, out of the slavery, out of the oppression, because the children of Israel were lifting up their hands and praying to God that they would be delivered out of that situation. And then God raised up Moses, and Moses went in, and the things that God did through Moses. Moses couldn't heal a tick. Moses couldn't transfer anything, but because God was with him, and Moses knew that God was with him. But Moses didn't initially start off that way. Moses first had to believe that God is, and that God was the one who was giving him the instructions on what it is that he needed to do. And when God told Moses, you know, Exodus chapter 3, he's telling Moses, you know, when you put your hand in your pocket, he put his hand in his pocket, his hand was clear. He pulled his hand out, his hand was leprous. He put his hand back in his pocket, and his hand came out clear and healed as if leprosy was never there. Then God told him to take up a rod. And when he took up that rod, and that rod, when he grabbed it by the end, and that he had the rod, he threw the rod down, the rod turned into a serpent. Then God told him to grab the rod by grabbed the serpent by the tail. And when he grabbed the serpent by the tail, the serpent turned back into a rod. Why am I telling you all this? Because if you don't believe that God is, it will be impossible for you to believe anything else that you're going to hear about the word of God. Because you have to understand, when we're talking about the things of God and we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about a government. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about government. And if you don't understand that from the very beginning, from Genesis chapter 1, is when God is telling you how this thing is going to work. What is the plans, his purposes, and his intent from the very beginning? But if you keep seeing it through religious eyes, you will never understand you are operating according to a kingdom. How does the kingdom work? What was God's original intent? What caused his original intent to alter? And what was his plan to bring all things back to the way they were from the very beginning? We're going to get into some of that today. And if you wasn't with us last time, you will find out, glory be to God, that last week we were talking about it's a matter of life and death, and how God gave the children of Israel, after they came out of Egypt, after they came out of the land of bondage, after they came out of all the oppression, God had given them instructions in accordance to Exodus chapter 20, verse number 1. Moses had already, they're already out of the land of Egypt. They're already out of Egypt. They've already crossed over to the through the Red Sea. They're already on the other side. And God, most people said, when God brought them out of Egypt, where did he take them? Most people would answer that and said he took them into the promised land. And that's not the correct answer. What happened was he took them from the land of Egypt and he brought them into the wilderness. And most people will ask, why did God not take them directly into the promised land? And he answered that question in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He brought them through the wilderness, even though there was a shorter way to get to the promised land. Why did he take them through the wilderness? Because he already knew that they were not quite ready to go into the promised land. And see, sometimes we believe that we're a lot further along than we are. And God is trying to is sharing with you, you still need some direction. You need some guidance. You need some training in order for you to be prepared for what it is that he's bringing you into. In fact, it says this way in Deuteronomy chapter 8. It says, all the commandments which I command you this day, you shall observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And one of the things you have to understand is this. When you operate according to the kingdom of God is word activated. The kingdom of God is word activated. How do you know? Because it says that even when God created the heavens and the earth, it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God, who is the Holy Spirit, moved on the face of the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. What happened? God said, and then what happened? Then God saw. That's what he says. He says, there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And it divided the light from the darkness. Now, why is that important to us? Because when God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God the Father, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit, God says this. He says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his image, in his own image, in the likeness of man created he, him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them. So what did God do? God first created, what was the first thing he did? He created the man or mankind in his own image and in his own likeness. And the moment that he created them, what did he do next? God blessed them. And this is what God said to them. He gave them specific instructions. He says, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. Have dominion means have authority over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God gave man instructions. He says, I want you to have dominion. I want you to have authority, and I'm going to give you authority, and I'm going to tell you what you have authority over. And when he made man, he made man to rule and to reign. So when he says, man, I want you to multiply. I want you to always be producing. I want you to always be increasing. He says, I want you to fill and refill. And he says that I want you to have authority and dominion over your situations and over your circumstances. And then God took man, took him to the, and he formed his body from the dust of the ground. And then what did he do? In Genesis chapter 2, he gave the man specific instructions. He said to the man, when he brought the man to the garden, he took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. What was he supposed to do? He was supposed to cultivate it and to protect it. And God commanded the man, saying, of the every tree of the garden thou can freely eat of, but of the tree that's in the knowledge that of the there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. Now, most people, when they read that from a natural standpoint, they're thinking, hey, the moment Adam took part of this fruit, he actually physically died. But that's not true. Adam went on to live at this time. We don't know how long Adam had lived at this point, but we do realize that when he died, he was over 900 years old. So even after he partook of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he died in one form, but he did not die physically. He died spiritually. What do you mean? He separated himself from God's ways of doing things. God said, I'm going to create you in my image. I'm going to create you in my likeness. So you're going to look like me. You're going to operate like me. You're going to have everything that I have. Adam, you, mankind, you will have. And then how do you know? Because even after he had formed man from the dust of the ground, he still had to blow into the nostrils of man the spirit of life, who is the Holy Spirit. And then man became a living being. Now, think about it this way. Even though the body had already been formed, until the breath of life was blown into that man, that body would lie there dormant. It's kind of like when you go to a home going or go to a funeral. When you see your loved one's spirit, that's why sometimes a lot of times when you see them, they don't even look the same, because their spirit was what gave them expression. Their spirit was what gave them that look that they had on their face. And when you remove the spirit out of that body, then it's just a whole lump of dirt, and your loved one, no matter how many times you beat on little Bobby's chest and say, Becky, come back, and all that, unless the Lord told you to do it, unless the Lord specifically told you to speak a word over him, little Bobby and little Becky are already transitioned to the other side. And see, this is the thing. God's desire for mankind was for mankind to operate earth just like it is in heaven. How do you know that? Because when you listen to Jesus, when he prayed, when he's given this model of prayer to his disciples, what did he say? Our Father, which art in heaven, holy is your name. Father, my prayer is that your kingdom come, your ways of doing and being right come, that your will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. What was he saying? Father, I'm praying that from the way that you originally intended it to be from the very beginning, that it goes back to that right now in the name of Jesus. So when the children of Israel came out of the wilderness, came out of slavery and came out of oppression and came out of Egypt, which mirrors when you and I, who are born again today, are coming out of the world and coming out of the old ways of living and coming out of pornography and coming out of sin and coming out of lying and cheating and stealing. And what we're saying when we're coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, what we're saying is, Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. Jesus, I lay my life down before you. Jesus, I give up my ways and I'm taking on your ways. Jesus, I'm making the great exchange with you. When they're coming out of the land of Egypt, then God, like that he did with Moses, because remember, when you read Genesis chapter 1 and on verse 2, it says the earth was dark and without form. So something happened between Genesis 1 and 1 and Genesis 1 and 2. There was a period of time that there was things to go on, and we won't be able to get into all that today, but we will get into it. But there was things that had happened that caused darkness to come on to the earth. And when God is speaking in Genesis 1 and 3, he is doing what? He's hitting the reset button and he's saying, we're going to start. We're going to reset this thing. And what did he say? He says, be. He said, light be one time. And from that time until today, light is still going at the speed so fast that there's so many more galaxies and so many more universes out there that we have not even come into contact with. But what he's saying, when the children of Israel are coming out of Egypt and coming out of their oppression and coming out of that, those 430 years of slavery, and coming out of, because they had been exposed to all kinds of different things. They've been exposed to many different cultures and many different gods and many different practices that did not line up with the things of God. So what did he say? And he says, I am bringing you out of that old nature. I'm bringing you out of that old government. I'm bringing you out of those old cultures and laws and principles. And he says, and I'm going to establish in you a new way. I'm going to establish in you a new heart. I'm going to establish in you a new method, a way of doing things. And he says, the very first thing I need you to understand, the very first principle, the very first command I'm giving you in accordance to Exodus 20 and 1 is this. And he says, and God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord, your God. In other words, Lord simply means I am supreme in authority. I am supreme in character. I am the first. I have the highest rank. I have the highest influence. He says, I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And he says, and because I'm the one who brought you out, I'm the one who was your deliverer. I'm the one who brought you from that old way of living. He says, you should have no other gods before me. Why would he have to say that? Why would he have to say you should have no other gods before me? Because they were in situations, circumstances where even they had partake of following after and yielding to other gods and other principles. He says, you should not make for yourselves a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that's in the earth beneath, or that it is in the water under the earth. You should not bow down to them to serve them. He says, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of all those who hate me, but showing mercy and compassion to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandment. You see, what you have to understand is God, when he talks about I'm a jealous God, he says, I'm saying to you, I don't want you to attach yourself to anything else. I don't want you to have anything or anyone that you hold in a greater regards or have more love for and more attention to and more allegiance to than me. For I am the one who brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light. I am the one who delivered you from the house of bondage and from that oppression because you asked me to. I am the one who did all these things. Am I not worthy of your adoration? Am I not worthy of your, I deserve, God says, I deserve your worship. I deserve your adoration. I deserve your praise. I deserve your allegiance. So you got to understand, it's all about the kingdom of God. It's not about a religion. Many people, when they teach the Bible, they teach as if it is a religion. It's not about religion. How do you know? Because when Jesus came to the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he was teaching kingdom of God principles. He kept telling them over and over, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. He kept saying, repent, change your mind, change your thinking, change your actions. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, the way that it was originally designed to be from the beginning is the way that it is right now. It was this way with the laws and the principles and the Ten Commandments and all those things up until John the Baptist. Why? Because John the Baptist was going to be the forerunner, and all the other apostles and prophets who came after the fall in the garden, after man fell in the garden, would be what? Proclaiming and prophesying and preparing for the arrival of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, it's not about religion. He says, that's why so many of God's people are being defeated and misled. They're thinking natural. And God says, I'm speaking to you spiritual. And he says, and that's what this is all about. This whole series is going to be all about changing mindsets and ideologies to align with the kingdom of God. Why? Because if you do not align your ideologies, you don't align your beliefs, you don't align your ways of doing things with the kingdom of God, if as this kingdom of darkness system is failing day after day after day, if you don't understand how to operate according to the kingdom, you will not succeed. See, God already knew the end from the very beginning. He already knew how this thing was going to end. And what he's saying is, I'm telling you, I have already called you out of darkness. I've already delivered you. You ever notice in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they have become the sons of God. And then he says in verse 15, he says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And how the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with your spirit that now you are children of God. And if you're children of God, then you're heirs of God and you're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. In other words, he says, because you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, because when you have made Jesus Lord, he delivered you out of that bondage. He delivered you out of that old way of doing things. In fact, it says this in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. He says, for you have been delivered from the power of darkness and been transitioned into the kingdom of his dear son. What's that kingdom? The kingdom of God. In other words, you were once in the kingdom of God, darkness, but when you made Jesus Lord of your life, you was transitioned back into the kingdom of God. Why is that significant? Because when Adam and Eve, remember, Adam will receive that commandment not to partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the day that him and Eve, the day that Eve allowed the serpent to deceive her, see, he deceived her. Who's the serpent? The adversary, the devil. How did he deceive her? He took what God said and twisted it. He perverted it. How do you know? What do you mean perverted it? He took something that was good and turned it into something that was worse. And what did he do? He convinced Eve that what was really evil was good. And that's the great delusion that's happening in the earth today. And this is why God is having this message be shared in this series. He says the great delusion is, according to Isaiah 5 and 20, where people will call good evil and evil good, will call bitter sweet and call sweet bitter, will call light darkness and call darkness light. In other words, they're going to pervert truth and make cause the truth seem like the truth is a lie and try to produce the lie as if it is the truth. And God is saying this to you, and God is saying this to me, and he's saying this to the entire body of Christ. He says, you must choose whom you're going to serve. God says he wants nothing less than your best. He wants your best. And you say, well, what if I'm trying to do my best, but I make mistakes? But are you still trying? Are you still wholeheartedly trying to fulfill the plans, purposes, and pursuits and follow out the God's ways? See, God says this. He says, glory be to God. He is interested in you deciding whom you're going to serve. The children of Israel, when he was saying, you should have no other gods before me. In other words, you have to make a decision from the very beginning, from the offset, because this decision will determine all other decisions. See, if you ever made a decision that Jesus is Lord, and if he's just Savior to you, but he's not Lord, you won't follow after God's ways of doing things. If you haven't made a decision that God is first place and he wants your first place, and that he is the preeminence, you won't make a decision to follow after his ways. And in Jeremiah 24, in verse 14, he says it this way. He says, now, therefore, Joshua's talking to the children of Israel who are the children. See, the first generation who came out of the land of Egypt, who he brought out of the darkness, they, even though they had saw the miracles, even though they had heard the word of God, even though they had seen God move time after time after time, they had mental assent, head knowledge that God could do it, but their heart wasn't convinced enough. And even though the word was preached to them, it was not mixed with faith. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Even though they believed that he was, they did not have enough faith to believe that what he said he would do, he would fully do. And they murmured against God, and they murmured against Moses, and they murmured against Aaron. And they was going to revolt against them and said, you know what? We're going to raise up our own leader, and we're going to go back into Egypt. And what happened? They died in the wilderness. What should have been an 11-day journey, it took them 40 years to make an 11-day journey. Not because it was not God's will for them to enter into the promised land, but because even though they were physically out of Egypt, Egypt was still, that mentality was still very much in them. And God is saying this to you, and God is saying this to me. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You have to choose this day whom you will serve. He says this, and Joshua says this. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him with sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. See, we just talked about why did God say you should have no other gods before me? Because when they were in Egypt, they were serving and creating other gods. He says, on the other side of Egypt, he says, serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amalekites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, and that's what I'm prophesying, declaring over you this morning, that you will make a decision that as for you and your house, you will serve the Lord. Then the people said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, it is he who brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the ways that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Then we find again in 1 Kings chapter 18, we're finding that the prophet has to remind the people again, and this is what he says. When he came to Ahab, you know, Ahab was the husband of Jezebel, and how he had, even though he was one of the most successful kings, he was also one of the most wicked. Why was he one of the most wicked? Because his wife was the one pulling the strings. Now, is there any shade on her? No, she had a control spirit, a spirit that brought about idolatry. Idolatry was when you're beginning to worship anything and having more obsession with anything other than God. She had her own group of idols, and she had her own group of priests who was in charge of watching over and leading worship to these idols. What is they doing? They're perverting the very thing that is supposed to be given only to God. God says, you should have no other God before me. They said, nope, no, we're not going to do it that way. We're going to create our own gods, and we're going to worship them instead of worshiping you. What are they doing? They're rebelling against God. And so when God sends Elijah to go confront the situation, he comes to Ahab, who's supposed to be on the Lord's side. And Ahab saw Elijah, but this is what he said to Elijah. Is that you, troubler of Israel? Now, Ahab, the one who's causing Israel to have troubles because him and his wife are actively in idol worship, is causing the man of God, the one who's representing God, God's mouthpiece, they're calling him the troubler of Israel. And what did Elijah say? He says, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandment of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now, therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So she had 850 priests who was conducting worship service to a false idol who eat at her table. And Ahab said to all the children of Israel and gather the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people. And this is what he said. And this is what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. And what happened? The people answered not a word. And what, in other words, they were indifferent. When they heard the word of God, they were indifferent. It didn't move them one way or the other. And God says this morning, don't let my word, which goes forth out of my mouth, will not return unto me void, but it must prosper in that which it please. He said it must prosper in that which it please and accomplish that which I sent it forth to do. What happens when you hear the word of the Lord? When God's word comes forth, you have to make a decision. Which way are you going to go? Are you going to receive the word and act on it in faith? Or will you hear the word of the Lord and let it fall dormant and say, you know what? That's not for me. I don't believe that. I won't receive that. Are you a child of God? Have you received Jesus as your Lord and made him the Lord over your life? And by receiving Jesus as Lord, you have now been delivered from the spirit of bondage, and you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you can cry, Abba, Father, that God is your Father. Or have you made a decision? You heard the word. You even thought about the word. Mentally, you believe the word, but you've made a decision to do what a group of people did in the Gospel of John chapter 8, and this is where we're going to close, and where Jesus came to them, and he's sharing the word with them, and this was their response. Jesus here speaking in John chapter 8, verse 42 says this. He says, if God were your Father, you would love me because I have come to you from God. I am not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me, for you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He says, so when I tell the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. Which of you can truthfully accuse me of sin? And since I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. But you don't listen because you don't belong to God. In other words, Jesus is saying, you are either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. You're either a follower of Jesus Christ or you are a follower of the adversary. You're either operating according to righteousness or you're operating according to unrighteousness. There is no in between. Why? Because you're talking about kingdoms. God's original intent was to establish the kingdom of God on earth, just like it, to operate just like it is in heaven. That was his original intent. That's what has established in the earth today. And why are we sharing this word? Because the time is drawing nigh and he needs his people to be ready to take this gospel north, south, east, and west to let people know that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, turn, change your mind, change your thinking, change your actions. And what else? Because the kingdom of God is at hand, we will heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. We received it freely, so we should give it freely in the name of Jesus. Now, you say, well, I've never even made God Jesus the head of my life. How do I go about doing it? Or I believe that I got born again because I got baptized, but I never made confession that Jesus is Lord of my life. How do I fix that? And that's the easiest thing for you to do. And according to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, which says it this way. It says, the word of God is nigh thee. It's in your heart, it's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So make this confession with me. Confess it out of your mouth. Mean it from your heart. Pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in the grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. I make a decision to serve God and have no other gods before him. From this day forward, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I receive it right now. I believe I'm born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you pray that prayer for the very first time or you rededicate your life or made this your day one, I want to welcome you to the body of Christ, welcome you to the kingdom of God, welcome you back into right position with God. Now, what do you got to do next? Man, you got to get in a word-based church that teaches about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Man, we know Faith Life Church is such, Faith Life is such a place, and Ignite Depot and Ignite to Life is such a place. So what we would like to do is have you to join us here every week. Day or every weekend at Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlanta Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll be sharing another life-giving word that will ultimately change your life forever. Now, you can follow us on Facebook or you can follow us on, or we have a podcast, Ignite to Life, and we have a daily podcast called Fresh Steps for You, where we give daily principles about how to operate according to the kingdom of God. Now, on behalf of Pastor Jew and the entire Ignite Nation, we want to thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye-bye.